Welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt the Button.
And I am Sir Ezra the Watchful. And friends, we're back with a couple of ravens. We've got some comments and we've got some early reviews, I guess.
Yeah, so today's episode might be a little bit different because we have some ravens and stuff we're just going to be getting through as well as just kind of some news. We might be jumping around here a little bit today, but just sort of bear with us because it's like we're in the lull where it's like, well,
yep.
Do we continue with our reread for like 2 weeks and then, or do we just wait until the show's over to die? We're going to have to wait.
Right.
Because it's like, it's everything's House of the Dragon right now. So, interestingly, the House of the Dragon premiere has come out, and a handful of people, including some other Game of Thrones, you know, Song of Ice and Fire content creators, have seen it. The one I watched was Emergency Awesome. He's like huge. He's got like 5 million subscribers or something like that. And he was talking about some things that he saw, right? Or, you know, what they can sort of comment on involving the show. So his review of it, which is a no spoilers review, because I think they're all not really allowed to spoil it or really shouldn't.
Right.
Sort of saying, man, everyone's saying it's really good. Everyone's saying, like, you can tell the budget is there. One of the things that I specifically wanted to point out was the music and the intro title scene, because we had been worrying, sort of wondering about that. So at least they're saying that it is different than what we had in Game of Thrones, but they don't know if that's just because it's like episode one of, you know, a show or a season, you know, lots of things like Wheel of Time didn't do the intro that they used in episode one that they used for the rest of the season. A lot of shows don't do that, where you really get the full intro on season two, but that it was really grand and really epic. The music is also, he described as being familiar but different. So like, you'd still hear some of those like Game of Thrones motifs coming in, but it is its own. It does also have its own music. But everyone's saying they think it's really good. They're saying like the look and feel makes it feel like more like it's a movie
rather than
like television. Yeah. They're all describing it as huge upgrades to Game of Thrones.
Wow. And that's something, you know, George had said, and the showrunner as well, they were talking about like, we took the best and we really have repurposed that. And we have a new story to kind of tell here. There is a story to tell, and they've taken the best from the series, from the original Game of Thrones series. So that's pretty cool. That's actually really encouraging to hear. I think, you know, people went in. I'm looking as we speak right now through some reviews and stuff. Nothing bad. It's under embargo, like you said. But people are like, that's glowing reviews right now. As you say, like, people are talking about how beautiful it is. All the things that you can say, right? The score is good. There's some edginess. You know, they can't say much more than words like that. But all really good stuff. I'm looking at Collider, looking at this Den of Geek, looking at a different couple other people who went and saw, you know, the premiere, and it's good.
Yeah, and they're saying like, even in episode one, we're seeing way more dragons than we even saw in Game of Thrones, which we know there is going to be, but just saying like it's apparent from episode one that they are going to be a much bigger part of the show than they were, obviously, with just really Daenerys and then kind of at the end with Jon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. Man, that's really cool. I mean, that's honestly, we already felt like from the trailer and just from the behind the scenes, like the reel that we saw and everything, this was looking amazing. Matt Smith, we think, is going to be epic. And the other cast members have come out. I think it's Olivia Cooke. Let me see here. A couple of them have come out and done some interviews, and they've talked about their characters and the complex women that are in this show, which I get. See, this is how you do it, because they're out here talking about some of the, like, these women ruling. We had Cersei, this, you know, ruler, and she's this dominant figure. You then have Daenerys, right, as well. You have some just a really cool diver already, just amazing cast and powerful women, and the complexities of all of that and everything that's going on in Westeros. And now we're looking backward, and we're looking at Targaryens, and we're looking at House, you know, Hightower coming in, trying to get some power, this dynamic, I guess, of power. And, you know, it's just interesting, because I'm reading here Olivia Cooke talking about that very thing and what really her performance is, what it was like, and then just how it felt to kind of portray Allison Hightower. So
yeah. Some other things here, and I'm just pulling this up from a Collider article where they, and I think somebody from Collider went, saying it, saying feels epic in a scale and scope, feels epic in scale and scope while telling a personal and intimate story about one family. And even went on to say, like, I did not like the last season of Game of Thrones at all, but I'll admit the premiere of House of the Dragon is really well done, and I'll definitely continue watching. After the episode ended, they showed an extended preview of the rest of the season that looks cool. Some other people here. For those curious about the series without spoilers, I can say this is a different member of Collider, I think. I can say that the thing I really dig is the fact that it still feels epic in scale and scope without... same one here. So some other people here, too. Other critics who were able to see the premiere. From Brandon Katz here. He's saying, the House of the Dragon pilot very efficiently explains its context in relation to Game of Thrones, introduces its core characters, and lays out the central conflict of the series. It's an easy-to-follow premiere with vibrant colors and detailed texture. Absolutely a worthy successor so far. Here's another one from Kat Combs, who's a critic. I didn't know how much I missed Game of Thrones theme song until I heard it tonight at the House of the Dragon premiere. The first episode is fantastic. Can't wait to see what's next. Fingers crossed it's no repeat of the final season of Game of Thrones. So I wonder if they did play the music there, or if they just heard it like it was just playing because it's like a premiere and it's a it's an event. The Dragon LML, right? Who's another Game of Thrones content creator. Wow, guys, just wow. I'll have more later, but my first takeaway, the show's a heavyweight. It already feels more serious. They've nailed it. And he has a video where he it's like he did like a live stream where he went over it. Let me see here. So Bald Move, said let me see here. I think the first episode of House of the Dragon will easily rope curious fans back in after the rocky finish of a Game of Thrones. I think they've earned a season of fans' continued loyalty if they deliver on the promise of the first episode I saw for the whole season. Watch out, because A Song of Ice and Fire is back.
Wow.
Continuing on, he said, here's something I think I can say to stir the pot until 8:21. There is something in the premiere of House of the Dragon that would be considered high A Song of Ice and Fire heresy were it not under the active involvement and blessing of George R. R. Martin. I'm very curious what the theory crafters will do with it. So, and I'm trying to remember where I saw this, but apparently there is, I think, is there news or there's theories going around that there is going to be the Aegon the Conqueror. I need to find this.
Okay.
May have like been the one to talk about the threat of the White Walkers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that it was sort of lost once the Dance of the Dragons began. So, and then eventually Rhaegar picks it back up later.
Almost like this was something that they needed to be thinking about, prepping for, and that was the unity between he and his sisters, right? That they were prepping for this. They had visions, dreams, whatever it might have been. And then it gets lost during the dance because of all the turmoil, inner family feuding and fighting for the throne. Dang. That would be huge. Because George actually came out and said, he's like, we are making this better. And he is highly involved. I was talking to Matt before we started recording here. George has more, I think, power or
say in this.
Say, yeah. Matt was saying he pitched it, right? He's a part of the pitching process. Like this was something he wanted to see really come to life. Thought this would be really good for TV. And it's not a blog. He said, think some changes will be different and some are improvements. And he said, yes, improvements. I mean, to what he's already penciled down in his outlines. That's okay. That's fine.
Yeah. So this is a Facebook message from a good buddy, Jimmy, Fantasy Network, on our private.
Let's go.
So let me read this one. He says, are you guys, he said, there's speculation that Aegon had dreams or say like, glass candles or something like that, that the Long Night was coming and the secret was passed down that it, and that it stops because of the dance. Then Rhaegar eventually recovers it. And so I'm going to pull up something here. So this in 2018, there was an enormous Reddit thread. This is like quite long if you're down for me to sort of dive.
Oh, right? Dude.
Go ahead and dive into it.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, why not?
Okay. So this one, best of 2020, sorry. Crow of the Year here on Reddit. Let me actually I can get this pulled up here so we we can take a look see here. It's
fascinating. I'm already, you know, highly intrigued.
Okay. So the Doom, the Doom, the Dreamer, the Conqueror, the Prophecy, and you know, the Prince slash S and the Dawn, spoilers. So he ends up linking a few major events of the Doom of Valyria to the Prince that was promised and the invasion of Westeros. We may have, we had to have covered this, I would say, at some point, perhaps. I mean, if it was like Reddit, Reddit post of the year. The Doom of Valyria. We know that the Targaryens fled 116 BC before the Doom of Valyria due to visions by Daenerys the Dreamer. At its apex, Valyria was the greatest city in the known world, with the center of civilization within its shining walls. 20 rival houses vied for power and glory in court and council, rising and falling in an endless, subtle, off-savage struggle for dominance. The Targaryens were far the most powerful of the Dragon's Lords, and their rivals saw to their flight to Dragonstone as an act of surrender as cowardice. But Lord Aenar's maiden daughter, Daenys, known forever as Daenys the Dreamer, had foreseen the destruction of Valyria by fire. And when the Doom came 12 years later, the Targaryens were the only Dragon Lords to survive. That's from the World of Ice and Fire. We also know that she had enough other dreams slash visions to write a book, Archmaester Marwyn's Book of Lost Books. He lifted the gaze from the page to study her. Hotho brought me a copy from Old Town. He has a daughter he would have had me wed. Lord Broderick tapped the book with a long nail. See here, he says, Marwyn claims to have found three pages of signs and portents, visions written down from the maiden daughter of Aenar Targaryen before the Doom came to Valyria. It's from A Feast of Crows, Kraken's Daughter, talking about Marwyn the Mage as his favorite character.
Right, yep.
I think easily it can be argued that these dreams or visions is where we get the actions of characters believing themselves, you know, to be the prince of, that was promised. So if you're following, I'm arguing that it's possible that Daenerys the Dreamer, who prophesied the Doom of Valyria, also prophesied that the prince who was promised and the Battle of the Dawn in this signs importance, you know, section of this old book.
Yep.
So he's going to list out a few characters who probably could have been affected by this prophecy. Aegon the Conqueror. Long before he chose to conquer Westeros, Aegon started plans for an invasion. A common myth oft heard amongst the ignorant claims that Aegon Targaryen had never set foot upon the soil of Westeros until the day he set sail to conquer it. But this cannot be true. Years before the voyage, the Painted Table had been carved and decorated at Lord Aegon's command. A massive slab of wood, some 50 feet long, carved in the shape of Westeros and painted to show all the woods and rivers and towns and castles of the Seven Kingdoms. Plainly, Aegon's interest in Westeros long predated the events that drove him to war. As well, there are reliable reports of Aegon and his sister Visenya visiting the Citadel in Old Town in their youth and hawking on the Arbor as guest of Lord Redwine. He may have visited Lannisport as well. You know, accounts differ. That's from the World of Ice and Fire. We also get this video of George Martin when he's promoting Fire and Blood, where George alludes to speculation about Aegon having knowledge of the Battle of Dawn, of the invasion, and the others. So this there's a lot of speculation that in some sense he saw what was coming 300 years later and wanted to unify the Seven Kingdoms to be better prepared for that threat that eventually he saw coming in the north, and that the threat we're dealing with in A Song of Ice and Fire. So So I wonder when that video is. Let me see.
Wow, man. I mean, think about that for a second. That actually makes like a lot of sense. Yeah. One, they want the power. You want to conquer Westeros. You want to whatever. But I mean, to have the foresight and say, hey, we need to be prepared, and maybe.
Right.
I mean, the
so that video is
a mystery.
Right. So that video is from must be like 2019, 2020 of George saying.
Okay.
So at that time, as we've learned more, that George is actually way more involved in House of the Dragon than he was in Game of Thrones. Here he is saying this thing. Oh, he wants to say that's not connected.
I mean, right there. So that, we have other characters here as well, but I mean, just to stop for a second on Aegon the Conqueror, if if they had dreams, I mean, the promotional trailer for this was talking about dreams. Like when we, for House of the Dragon, we talked about the Targaryen's ability to dream and to see things. Like that's a mystical element that would be really cool to explore. And for, if there is some rumor prior to this war that he, I mean, foresaw this stuff and was trying to prepare a strong House Targaryen in Westeros to lead him in the wars to come, my God, that's a big deal.
Right. And we don't have to go through the whole thing. Eventually, we should come back and do a whole thing. But the sort of focus of this was to talk about it in the respect to, you know, House of the Dragon and Aegon the Conqueror and potentially the idea of this theory, you know, this being lost. Are we going to see, you know, are there going to be more connections, whether they're minor or whatever, or references or any of this stuff to Game of Thrones in House of the Dragon? And I would say absolutely. Like, you just look at, like, say something like Kenobi, where you can like hint at something like, and Kenobi, right? The wall, right? He sees this wall and he's like, Master Quinlan was here. And that's all it takes.
That's all it takes
to sort of help build the expanded universe and the world that we see in Star Wars and Marvel. You know, there's all these, like, Marvel has tons of connections where they say something like, oh, that's a, you know, a little reference to this character that's going to show up in the Hulk, you know, the Thor movie or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And so we're going to start seeing that. That's why I still have said, I think it would be awesome if they use faceless men and we saw Jack and Hagar, just because it's that face and they reuse it or whatever. It could be a different person, but it would just be a cool way to use something that ties directly into Game of Thrones.
Right.
And is going to, people be like, what? And then it helps. Internet goes crazy, builds hype and the whole
thing. Exactly. You know, another thing too, we were talking about Aegon the Conqueror, something simple as like a scroll that was written down where he penned a raven perhaps or something of his dream, like a journal of his or anything. I mean, you could do a whole number of things that like other characters now have a relic or have something that they, that was important back then. That would be, that'd be really cool. Actually.
Well, the dagger, Cat's Paw dagger that Rhaenyra is using to try and, or Alicent, excuse me, is trying to use to kill Rhaenyra. Well, that ends up being the dagger that is made of the attempt on Bran's life. And then the one that Arya used to kill the Night King.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're, God, you know, I don't want to go this far, this crazy, but like things like a dragon horn or a dragon binder or something, you know, if there was lore on it, even that it was lost or something, you know, that's not in the main, you know, Game of Thrones series, but for book fans, they'd be like, hold on a second, Euron's got dragon binder and there's these horns that are a big deal.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And you can, there's actually, you can allude to things that could affect the books, but didn't affect the show. But that's not to say that just because we didn't see it in the show, it didn't exist.
Right.
Like Dragonbinder could exist in the Game of Thrones, you know, world. There's nothing refuting that it didn't exist. Like you could have them drop a line to say something like, especially if you're using like townsfolk or something, or you know, where it's like, you know, there's a legend actually of a horn that could control these dragons. Cause it's like, what are we going to do against an army of dragons?
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
Something. And they're like, well, we that's not, unfortunately that horn isn't here. So, you know, I mean, like,
yeah.
You know, all it takes is like one line to sort of build.
Yeah, to canonize it and make it this thing. Yeah, no, that's really, I like that a lot, because that's all we need. We just need these little tie-ins. You never even have to like go on and explain that dagger. It's just, we recognize it as the same. And I feel like they're going to do a lot more of that, actually. I think that's, it just makes them feel more connected and people are then looking for that, because especially if it's show only people, because a lot of just show only people will come back and they haven't read the books, and that's fine. They're going to come back to get these feels, which all the reviews are saying, hey, you're going to get that feel. But then there were show verse theories. We had a friend way back when we started, our buddy Alan, used to talk to me all the time about like what he thought was going on in the show verse without any books, just based upon what he thought was happening, because they were totally separate. And you're gonna have people doing that very thing again. Who they're going to be looking and saying, yeah, this is, here's their theory for the show. And then here are things that connect to Game of Thrones, which is so important when you're doing this world building type of thing. So you're building out like a little universe or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's crazy. And I do think we're going to do it, because again, the other, you know, we've talked about the possibility. Is there stuff in here that's going to connect to, say, even Snow, right? Because Jon is a Targaryen. So you could bring it forward. But I do love the idea that well, one and two separate things. I do love the idea that Aegon the Conqueror did think that there is another threat out there, like the white, whether it be the White Walkers or whatever, and then it is lost. Especially the idea is lost during the dance when everyone decides we should just have dragons,
right?
You know, this we have this civil war that begins the fall of House Targaryen.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that is really cool. It's cool to think that he had that because in dragon blood, dragon dreams, all those different things, like they have power. There's that mystical element can, you know, still be there. We're going to have, what's her name, Lady Misery in this. I mean, so she's going to be there. But the Targaryens themselves have, you know, powers, and they're connected to magical, you know, dragons. I mean, for crying out loud. Right. So, yeah, I like that a lot, actually. So,
yeah.
Cool.
So, okay. Didn't you have something?
Yeah, I do. Yep. I got something right here. So just a quick little, this is Chance, who wrote us about 5 days ago and left us a comment. By the way, feel free to do that. You can also send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com. We love to read your guys' thoughts on the show. So he says, I think it's obvious HBO is looking for a Star Wars style franchise for the Game of Thrones universe. They are confident about the success of House of the Dragon, and I do think that it will be successful. It has gotten a lot of goodwill from the tastemakers. If it does really well, then it opens the door for more prequels and sequels. That's the best case scenario they're hoping for. Game of Thrones is the most watched live action TV show ever. Honestly, it would have been foolhardy just from a business standpoint for them to put a fork in the franchise because of how the show ended. It's easy for the core fandom to scoff at a Jon Snow sequel, but Jon Snow is the Luke Skywalker of this franchise. The character is really popular, like really, really popular. Anything with Jon Snow in it will be watched by a blank ton of people, which will then open the door for Rain Rebellion prequel and so on. So, yeah, my only fear is this, even at what you would consider the nadir of the show from a storytelling aspect, there was still something subversive and unique about Game of Thrones. I don't want them to lose that uniqueness and become a Marvel theme park, right, where they're going to churn out different part one, part two every year, and it just becomes kind of soulless or whatever. So he doesn't want that. But I think it's a good comment just in terms of, like, when you think about, I like to think about Star Wars a lot, and you think about the Luke Skywalker of your Game of Thrones universe. Jon Snow's it, man. So to think about the future of the franchise and just what they want to do, you need a good sequel. It's cool to go back and then have these successor shows. I think they're doing a great job. I'm again surprised that the Jon Snow show was under lock and wasn't rumored or leaked sooner rather than later here. But still, I think it's a really good thing for the fandom. All the reviews coming in for House of the Dragon, it's going to be successful. We're confident in that. George is highly involved. The second show that I think he's highly involved with is Jon Snow. Has to be. So
definitely.
Yeah.
I'm super pumped for it. I could not be more pumped. You know, I was actually just looking here because I was like wondering, you know, there's been like no leaks, which I think is great, which is,
yeah.
I mean, like, right. We ultimately know the end of it. I saw a funny, it was like TikTok or it was on Twitter or Reddit the other day where somebody posted a thing and they said Joffrey spoils House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Because he does. There is a segment. There is a little clip where he's like, hey, right there's. You know, I don't want to spoil it for, I guess. I mean, I don't know. We kind of know what happens, but
right. Maybe
somebody's watching and they don't know. But there is a scene in Game of Thrones where Joffrey says basically how it ends. Because we do know, because it's obvious it takes place after Game of Thrones takes place after this. But right. Yeah, I'm just looking here, and man, it's just so exciting to see all of the reviews and everyone saying they're really hyped for it and all the promotional material and everything, because we've been waiting for this show for like 2 years ever since it was announced, and now we're finally here, and it feels like Game of Thrones is back.
It definitely is, and I'm telling you right now, people, I cannot wait. So when this comes out, it's the 21st. I keep thinking it's the end of August. It's actually like August 21st, right, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. When Sunday out. Sunday August 21st.
So like 3 weeks. Actually. You know,
yeah.
so anyway, just super wild, and it's gonna be so much fun. And I feel like I was encouraged to hear that George said there are changes, some better. So like everything's on the table. We can go back to just theorizing, speculating, really get into what's going to happen next, make those predictions week by week. We don't know, just because there's actually less source material here to go off of than there was in the originals. And that's probably going to be a good thing, because they're not going in trying to full on adapt some, super wordy, lengthy novel. And it's just like, there's a lot of room here to be creative and for other creatives to come up with ideas and stuff that's going to challenge the story or make it better or whatever, which is what we want. Ultimately, we want the best story. We want a great adaptation. We want these really, cool moments. And I feel like watching the preview too, or the trailer, I think there's some edgy Game of Thrones vibe, some backstabbing, plotting, sex, affair, love, all sorts of stuff going down. They're bringing it all back, everything, Yeah. So
one thing, this isn't necessarily a leak because you get these things all the time. It does look like we have the first two episode titles.
Oh, okay. So spoilers, I guess, sort of.
Not really. Yeah. Okay. Episode one is titled The Heirs of the Dragon.
Okay.
And episode two is titled The Rogue Prince. It doesn't really tell us anything, but it's still cool. It's exciting, right?
That's cool. Yeah. The Rogue Prince. Yep. So, and that's what our story will be about. So, yeah, that's neat. It's really, really neat. I'm interested to see what that thing is that sort of challenges a lot of what we know, that things that are different that George had a hand in that are better. But maybe challenge what we know in A Song of Ice and Fire, whatever that comment was you read earlier too, where someone was, talking about that'll be cool to really see that on screen and figure it all out. It's just so much. I mean, it's just going to be such a ride. So I hope we're ready.
Yeah, I am pumped. We definitely have, we've had a bunch of YouTube comments stuff like that, and we can definitely, we can come back and do just like a major blitz through,
just read them around.
Just going through comments, but just wanted to get on here and say, hey guys, here's some of the news. Here's some of the things coming out. We're definitely obviously super excited for everything. And so I guess maybe a little bit about our schedule is, I don't know yet, but it's going to be probably every time there's news and stuff like that. It's happening at a kind of crazy time. And, as is my life, I'm getting married in 5 weeks?
Yeah.
4 weeks. So I don't know. Something like that. I think episode 3 of House of the Dragon is the same night as my wedding.
Right.
So, and will we be covering it? Probably some YouTube shorts or something, like a TikTok or two. So certainly stay tuned to that. Ez is getting ready to go back to school.
Right. Yep.
Got a lot. I'm starting a new job.
Yeah.
Next week. So just crazy.
It's gonna be a little crazy, but we'll keep up with the bits of news. And again, if you guys have comments, you find stuff, we'll roll through those comments and do some standalone stuff for you guys. If you have Ravens, btkcast@gmail.com, send us your Ravens.
Or check out our website, right? BetTheKneePodcast.com.
That's right. Shout out to Sir Jimmy for putting that together. I mean, there's just the excitement is building. And I guess it's like we are getting prepared for what will be. Like the first episode or two, we're going to be fine. We're going to be doing some probably watch party stuff, which will be a little bit new for this channel. I mean, we haven't really started doing YouTube kind of after season 8 little bit.
Yeah.
So
the way it's going to work is we're going to do a watch along on YouTube live with every night, but the episode 3, unfortunately, just because it's my wedding.
Right.
I mean, we were thinking House of the Dragon was going to come out in April. All right. I would have moved my wedding. Okay,
You moved it thinking it was in April. Okay,
I did. I was like, I gotta get married. Maybe we'll get married in September.
Right.
So,
right.
But you can't control that, unfortunately.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
So, So what we're gonna do is we're gonna do a live watch along. So the episode starts at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
So we can't obviously show the episode. But what we're going to do is just click on live watch party. Everyone can comment in the chats, full spoilers,
comments up there.
We're watching it.
Yep.
And then after that, we'll do sort of we'll say our podcast intro and stuff like that, because, we then record this as a podcast. And then Sir Jimmy is going to be joining us. So we're going to be doing just these big live post episode one thoughts, as well as answering your guys' comments and questions. It'll probably be a 3 to 4 hour hangout every Sunday.
Yeah, which is great. And again, yeah, we'll get our initial thoughts, get our podcast recorded and everything. But it's just really good for the channel. It'll be great for community building and just, mm-hmm. you know, talking to you guys about stuff. So that will be, that's much more interactive. You guys see videos that we, you know, that Matt clips out from the podcast and stuff, but you're going to see like, actually we're going to click on your comments and interact with you guys. So I feel like that'll be mm-hmm. a lot of fun for the channel. So
yeah, it's definitely a different kind of experience. So awesome. All right. With that, guys, just sort of like a quick little in between thing, because I'm sure we're going to be getting a lot more House of the Dragon news here in the upcoming dates. Some of the stuff I saw from the other people who saw episode one, as I said, that there's going to be a handful more trailers, like TV spots and stuff like that coming soon. Good. So stay tuned for all of that. And as always, guys, remember, apparently, even with Fire and Blood coming, you know, winter is still coming.